Welcome back, to ladies and gentlemen, to another episode of Loud and Obnoxious with your hosts, Kip Wilson, and I got with me, as always, old Phil G. How are you, Philly?
Man, Kip, my heart is full. I had one of the best weekends a guy could have.
As
an individual and as a family member, you know. I got to go to the Boxing Hall of Fame in Canastota, New York, with my uncle Jim, was an inductee, and
Pretty awesome. So yeah, we want to hear all the stories. So I know that we accidentally had some technical difficulties last week. We do apologize that episode. Once we realized it was kind of screwy, we pulled it off. But yeah, so we kind of touched about it a little bit last week. You got to meet some famous names. We'll dive into that. Since we were last here, I guess for the listeners also, we'll touch on LeBron's got swept, but as you know, as everyone knows, he's still good at basketball. He's just kind of a cornball off the court. And then we always hated on Ovechkin, and I think that has subsided now that he's won. We're going to talk a little bit about how much joy we get watching this guy party like we would if we won the Stanley Cup. And then, of course, we are going to talk about partying because Kip is going to the College World Series this weekend. Woo! We didn't get to harp on it last week because the episode was not airing, so we're going to dive deep into the rally dogs, the road dogs, the guys that are tearing it apart, and we're going to Omaha, so we'll dive into that, and then guess who's back?
Tiger!
Tiger's back, so we'll end this week's episode with a little U.S. golf props. I'll read off some numbers. We'll see what Phil has, but speaking of Phil, I want to get right into the best story of the week. Phil, tell the listeners, how was it?
Man, it was so cool. Being part of the close family members, I got the full VIP experience. You name it amongst the legends of boxing. And
so for those that don't know, Phil's uncle's a legendary boxer. Boxing announcer.
Yeah, he's definitely not a boxer.
No,
he is a ringside interviewer for Showtime. Been doing it for 25 years, I believe.
Since Showtime's been doing boxing.
He's called 1700 Fights.
And so he was inducted into Rando City,
Canastota, New York.
It's, where do you fly into?
We flew into Syracuse.
And was that an experience, flying in and out of Syracuse?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Flew a little different than normal.
Running anything, anyone? I mean, you saw so many famous people all weekend. Let's do some name dropping.
Right.
Not usually a podcast that talks about it. Do some name dropping for us.
Well, okay. Well, so Thursday night we get there and we go to this little banquet dinner. I mean, let me first say the Boxing Hall of Fame, it's awesome. But it's not like the NFL Hall of Fame or the NBA or anything else. It's not like they have people donating millions of dollars a year to this place. So it's old school.
Yeah.
It's old school. Just like boxing, you know. And we went to this little dinner for all the inductees. A few weren't there. You know, Vitaly Klitschko got inducted.
Vladimir Klitschko, the
Vitaly.
One. Vitaly. Okay. Is this the one that's married to the chick from Heroes? I don't know what her name
is. Vitaly Klitschko is the gosh dang mayor of Kiev, Ukraine.
I mean, one of the Klitschkos was like a heavyweight boxer, was he not?
Both of them were.
Okay,
both of them were champions.
They would never fight each other.
Right.
Correct?
Both of them were champions.
I remember this story now.
Vladimir Klitschko is the younger brother. He just recently fought his last fight. He actually lost, unfortunately, and he's retiring. But one thing I found odd was that Vladimir Klitschko spoke much better English than his brother, who is actually the mayor of Kiev, like I said, the mayor of Kiev. But my God, are those men huge!
I mean, these guys beat the shit out of everyone in the world, for their whole career, and they're like, "Nah, we're not going to beat each other's ass."
Yeah.
So that's pretty neat. So
he had some great stories for his speech.
Is it almost like one of those like embarrassing like groomsman stories when you get to tell about your brother, or is it more?
Well,
like
he did talk about his brother. He got a little sobby, and you know, of course, talks about his brother. But you know, he grew up. He was born in the Soviet Union, and he said boxing was banned there. You know, as a child, and he didn't start boxing until he was 14 or 15 years old, and he was just this tall, little skinny kid, and everybody laughed at him. And you know, he said he lost his first fight, and he's like. And then they watched Mike Tyson win the championship. He's like, I'm going to win the heavyweight championship. And everybody laughed at him. And
so they used Tyson as like an inspiration.
Oh, dude. And I'll get into this further. But Mike Tyson was there. And, I mean, he is every boxer's idol.
Really?
Every boxer's idol, you know. Say, you know, he's out the ring, you know. That doesn't matter. As a boxer...
They love him. Everyone admires him. I mean, I can understand it, too. And I think he's kind of like, if you think of boxing growing up, I don't think of Floyd Mayweather. I think of the Mike Tyson. You think of, like, Holyfield. And we didn't even see him in his heyday. You just see videos of him just beating the shit out of folks.
Oh, my God, yeah.
So you got to see Tyson. That's cool.
Well, yeah, I'll get more in-depth on that. Oh, yeah. So at the banquet dinner, Antonio Tarver. I want to give a special shout out to Antonio Tarver and his son Antonio Tarver Jr. I had actually met Antonio in 2011 at the Ward versus Frock fight. My uncle brought me to. It was in Atlantic City, and Tarver works on Showtime Boxing as well. So they've worked together a lot. They're very close friends. Uh-huh. And I mean, Antonio Tarver's got time for everyone, and he had a smile on his face the entire time. He is the nicest, and his son is the nicest two guys I came into contact with all weekend. You know, I seriously doubt he remembered me from the last time, but I actually showed him a picture of us two, and he's like, oh, man. He's like, let's take another. And so, you know, I took a photo with him, and
it's really nice when you can, like, humanize him. Like, these guys are like... When you do get to meet them, it's fun as shit, and they're like cool as hell. That's awesome. Yeah,
I mean, he had time for everyone. You know, he was having probably the most fun there. I mean, he's got his phone out, video, Snapchat, and all that stuff the whole time.
He's excited to see his friend go in just as you were to see your uncle, so I can understand.
Oh, yeah.
That's like, if you ever get, you know, when this podcast takes off and you get inducted into some rando Hall of Fame and I'm invited, I'm going to try to do that as well. Go and live my best life for that. That sounds awesome.
And Antonio's son, he's about 30 years old. He's fighting now, or he's been fighting. And I apologize if I messed this story up, but I'm sure Antonio is involved in the training of his son, but I think they said his like 90-year-old grandfather is training him too, which is just such so cool.
You always see those movies though. Yeah, it's always like you got this smart, intelligent, like old guy who's always been around the ring. You know, like canvas guy for life. Like you always have those guys, and you're like, that motherfucker knows some shit. Like he knows how to. I guess they were filming like. I guess it was whenever the big fight was last. Well, I guess McGregor and whatever. And they were talking about one of the guys, Stitch, that was, you know, like 6 years world renowned. Like, he just fixes up your face when you get your shit, you know, like beat around. And so it's pretty interesting. Those old guys seem to always know more than everyone. It's really cool stories to hear.
Yeah. So, you know, special shout out to them. Great family. He gave me the time of day. I talked to him about possibly coming on the podcast, you know, thinking, oh, yeah, sure, you know, just listen to me talk to you and then throw away the card. But we engaged, and we'll see what happens.
So shout out to him. If he wants to come hang out with us, you're always welcome. We love a loyal listener, and we always love a guest to join us on the podcast as well. So I know you posted some pictures on the Instagram account, at LNO Podcast. Of getting some molds done? Even your uncle gets the mold done?
Well, okay, so here's the thing.
Elaborate for the listeners.
You know how the football players get their busts and the bronze busts. Well, you know, boxers get their fists done. Well, my uncle said, I don't feel comfortable having my fist in the same glass case is Muhammad Ali and George Foreman and people like this. So he requested by special request that they do it with a microphone in his hand.
That is so cool.
Yeah. Yeah. And apparently
so he gets like dunk it in some.
So he dunked his hand in and they had this little tube stuck in between his hands so that they'll stick a microphone in later.
Gotcha.
And yeah, it was the like the captain said, it was the most fun I've ever had seeing cement dry.
I mean, that's great. That's
not that, that was cement, but you know, whatever. And then we, you know, in the museum, these dudes, these heavyweights have the biggest fucking hands you will ever see. I mean, it's the size of your head.
I mean, I can't believe it. They just beat the shit out of folks for a living. I imagine their hands are almost like cement blocks in themselves when they're outside of it, you know?
Yeah. So the casting is what it's called, I believe.
Casting
was done Friday. It was there for such a while, and we were staying at a hotel casino, so you know, you lose track of time, and it kind of feels like everything runs in together. But so that was Friday, and then Friday night we went to some fights. They had some fights at the Friday night fights.
Fuck yeah, did you throw any money down?
Nah, but
God damn it, Phil, this is what we've trained you for with this podcast.
Dude, I didn't know who the fuck was fighting.
It doesn't matter. I don't know who the fuck's ever doing anything, but that doesn't even keep me from gambling on it. That's what makes it fun.
But that's when Mr. Mike Tyson showed up. And my uncle had tickets for us. We went to the fight, and I was sitting with the rest of the fam while Uncle Jim and Mike were sitting ringside. Actually, yeah, in front of the gate, like they were ringside. And my brother Connor, jokingly texts my aunt that's sitting with him. She's like, "Man, we'd much rather be sitting with you." And she's like, "Let me see what I can do." And next thing you know, we're sitting up there with them and watching boxing with Mike Tyson, Jim Gray.
Gotta be one of the coolest experiences ever. Huh?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I mean, I've seen the pictures of you. I mean, when we were living together, they were spread around the house and things of that nature. That's gotta be one of the most surreal moments. Like, that's fucking crazy, dude.
It was. And man, let me tell you, this is not something we don't know, but boxing is rigged. It is rigged. We watched this fight, and every single person I was sitting by was like, "Yeah, this dude won." And then announced, it goes the distance, and the other guy wins. Everyone's like, people were booing.
You really?
Know? Yeah, yeah. It's not like it was a big fight, or, you know, it's a big fight for those guys, but for, you know, an average.
There's a purse out there, and, you know, that's what they're obviously fighting for. But, okay, so I'm not a boxing guy, and one of the reasons is because of this. It's the same reason I don't give a fuck about gymnastics, because they use scoring systems that cannot be 100% proven. Like, if you give it 10-9 to someone rather than the other just because of your opinion, and you can do it punches landed, but at the same time, different punches. So, you know, like body shots and things like that. And then sometimes without the knockdown. That's why I enjoy what just became legal, at least in the state of Washington. And I watched a pay-per-view via Twitter, and it was the bare knuckle boxing. And these fights weren't lasting. I swear to God, the first fight maybe lasted 20 seconds. Chris, my roommate, I was like showing him these footages, and these guys just beat the bejesus out of him. But it's a clear, you know, like it's clear as day winner, because one of these guys is bloodied on the canvas. That's what I miss about boxing. Like, UFC, oftentimes, if it does go to a decision, that's when you kind of lose luster. Or when soccer goes to a draw and you just go on a group play with one goal, we'll tease the World Cup. That's what irks me. But being able to watch it with people that know actual boxing, that's fucking crazy, Phil.
Oh, and let me tell you something. I feel so bad for Mike Tyson. You know, not forget everything.
He just gets hounded all the time.
He can't live his life, you know? And people everywhere are trying to run up and get his autograph. You know, luckily there was a gate in front of him, but like people are running up to the gate and security has to shoot people every freaking second. People are yelling at him the whole time while he's trying to watch the fight and spend time with one of his good friends. And, you know, I'm not going to say what happened, but he had had enough. And he had to leave, which I just felt badly about.
Yeah, I mean, that's unbelievable, though. But at the same time, when you sit here and say, all of those boxers also revere Mike as the greatest ever.
But it's called
imagine what a fan of boxing, what they, you know, how high in stature they would hold Mike, because it's the same way with, like, Tiger for golfers.
I get it. You know, it's just... Yeah, and as a rabid fan, you get starstruck, you forget that these people have lives.
Yeah, like at the grocery store and shit, he's probably having to talk to folks. Would that drive you crazy?
Yeah.
Well, luckily we had your face here on this podcast.
And everywhere we went, we had to sneak out back doors and shit like that. I mean, that shit happens.
See, I would kind of find that more wise guys cool than, like, you know, like the guys from Goodfellas. Yeah, you can sneak into bars downtown in Denver doing that route, and you're like, this is kind of cool. But yeah. Let me ask you, did you see anybody else where, you know, somebody that the listeners would know as well? You mentioned all those other gentlemen.
Oh, God. I mean...
Give us some more stories. You had the big weekend.
If there's any elder people or elder listeners or, you know, people that just really know boxing, I mean, here are two guys, both heavyweight champions. Leon and Michael Spinks were there. And my dad and my uncle were like, you know, that they were enamored with Mike Tyson, most obviously, like everybody was. But the Spinks brothers, they were very cool. You know, they're a bit older, and I'm going to go off subject for a little bit. The boxing scene, sometimes it was not depressing by any means, but you just, some of these guys, especially the older guys, when the purses weren't as big back in the day and you don't have the right management, some of these guys just got spit up and chewed up and spit out, you know? And
about the game or the sport.
Yeah.
But I mean, it seems like it'd be one of those sports that would do that to you. It's almost like you see that ESPN 30 for 30 about Marcus Dupree, you know, like in a college football scenario. It's like, I came from a small town in Mississippi. You know, I wasn't prepared for this. Oh my God. You know, like, and then everything falls apart when you look at money for the first time and then you get had, you know. So it definitely sucks. You know, it definitely happens. But at the same time,
but another one
if
of the,
they're that famous, you got, I mean, they must have made their bones somewhere along the way.
But another one of the inductees, Winky Wright, big southpaw. He was also just a very nice guy. You know, these guys have to put on a show for the camera and the microphones. But when the microphones and cameras aren't rolling, these guys aren't what they are on TV, and they're really genuinely nice guys. You know, like I said, Antonio Tarver was. I met Deontay Wilder, the current heavyweight champion of the world. This is a man that said he wants to kill someone in the ring. Well, after meeting him, I'd be hard-pressed to believe that he meant that, like, truthfully.
Oh, because you mean, like, he's so, like, genuinely kind.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I imagine they all put on this, you know, false bravado or whatever the term would be. To, like, you know, to sell fights. I mean, look at the McGregor Mayweather. Both those clowns walked away with, you know, hundred millions of dollars. All they had to do was talk shit at each other for a little while and just dance. But I mean, at the same time, teach their own. But yeah, Floyd, I can believe that. They're not all that big of assholes.
Floyd Mayweather wasn't there, but he and Jim Gray are very, very close buddies. He left a little nice little tribute video for him.
I'm sure he read off it. Yeah.
Huh?
Nothing. just in case any of our boxing friends are out there. I'm not trying to attack.
And another one of the inductees, not Marv, but Steve Albert, brother of Marv Albert, who's been calling Showtime Boxing since 87. I think he quit or retired about 7-8 years ago. Interesting fact, there's three Albert brothers, all famous broadcasters.
It's like the fucking Gumbels over here.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just prestigious commentary right there. Well, Phil, it sounds like you had a pretty big time. Listeners, we hope you enjoyed what Phil did this weekend. And hopefully we can reach out to some of your friends that you made last week, see if they want to come on, maybe antagonize. Let's ask them some fun hypotheticals.
Well, one more shout out to Larry Fitzgerald. Not a boxer.
No.
Not a boxer, but... He happens to be another close friend of the family, and he was the Grand Marshal of the Parade of Champions, which I got to ride in.
See, Phil, you should have led with stories like this. You got to meet Larry Fitz, and he was the Grand Marshal of the parade. I mean, that's fucking strong stuff right there.
Yeah.
That's what we like to hear. That's, I mean, that sounds like you had a killer weekend.
And he is just, like, I put him right up there with Antonio Tarver as being, like, nicest guy there, you know. He's got time for everybody.
That's awesome.
And he's just happy-go-lucky guy. Professional as hell.
Well, shout out to Larry as well, and Mike and Jim and whomever else that you got to hang out with this weekend. It's Spike or Willie or Whitey or whomever it was. But it sounds like you had a big time.
Don King, another one.
There you go. Oh, El Don.
He's getting up there in age, though. So
look at that. So, yeah, if you want to come join us on the podcast, Phil will gladly facilitate that and hang out with those guys. You probably know more about boxing than I do. All I know is what I've seen in movies and how I can relate it to maybe like five fights since I've become a gambling degenerate. So it's all you on that one, but it sounds like you had a good time. But while you were gone, I have some questions for you.
Okay.
Did you get to see LeBron fail and get swept? And have you gotten to watch OV celebrate?
Well, I happen to be sitting at the poker table for the third and fourth quarter of game four. So, yes, I enjoyed that very much.
Did you happen to catch the post? Okay, so, yeah, they got swept. We've mentioned it before. LeBron is the best athlete on the court and the planet. Game, set, match. We won't argue that. What we will argue is that off the court, he is the biggest goddamn goober this world has ever seen. Like, he wears a fucking cast out there after game four, parades it out there, and he's like, you want to talk about this? Like, yeah, obviously now we do, but, like, that's not how you go about this. Like, if you want to use that as an excuse, let somebody else do it for you. This drives me crazy. That's my dog, sorry.
Well, all right, first of all, I'm in the same boat with you as LeBron's off the court. Not antics, because they're not antics, but just behavior, how he has to praise himself and...
He's a goober.
You know, whatever. But if his hand is broken, you do... Like, yeah, okay, maybe you could wait 10 minutes longer and do it after the press conference. But when you have a broken hand and you've been playing through it and probably making it worse, you do kind of need to get it addressed as soon as possible.
I can understand that. But the rumors and the story is that he punched a whiteboard after the game one loss because J.R. Smith is something some people would call crack baby. I think we've mentioned on the previous podcast. No, that's okay. We don't know that for a fact, but allegedly, if J.R. Smith wants to come defend himself, I will gladly take that call and that L. But what's it called? Yeah, so since that bonehead play, he apparently punched a whiteboard, but he's been playing, I guess, less than 100% with a broken hand, but he just kind of paraded it out there. So I felt like now we're talking about this, but he's about to leave again as well.
He wanted the sympathy, you know, he wanted the not the built-in excuse. I mean, the built-in excuse was your team sucks and your friend J.R. Smith screwed you.
Yeah, and I mean,
and I probably would have punched a whiteboard too.
I can understand
punch that. It with your left hand. What hand was broken?
I couldn't tell you. But, I mean, either of them being broken is going to be a significant issue when you're playing basketball. And I'm not disputing that. And he even still played well with probably like a broken metacarpal, if that's what it was, or a phalange. Don't get at me. I didn't go to med school. But I know exactly that those are the bones right there, the smaller bones in the hand. The fact is, like, he parades this out there after game four. So fuck you for doing that. And now we get to go through this whole offseason. Where does he want to play? He's going to end up signing a one-year goddamn contract with Cleveland because that's what he's become. He's become just a tease for, like, entertainment, and then he just does something corny, gooby, and strong.
Somebody mentioned the possibility of him doing what Chris Paul did, opting into his last year and then demanding a trade. So he can get that max amount of money.
I see. That's kind of interesting. I haven't heard that, but if he did do that, what he would be doing is he'd be fucking the team he's going to because you're depleting it of resources already. It's like the classic Carmelo. Like,
dude,
for three players in a draft, he's trying to go win one more championship.
Dude, okay, you say he's fucking the other team he's going to. These other teams want him so bad that they would give him more than the max contract if they could. You know, when you the bird rights get allows the team that you play for to give you more.
Let's say
if he leaves, he's going to be taking less no matter what. So yeah, why not do a sign and trade and get the max amount of money?
If the real purpose of the trade is to win a championship, then you're trading away. Like, let's pretend like Philly is the location. Then you're going to have to give up something, Markelle Fultz and something else. Why the fuck would you do that? If you're trying to win still, then just opt out, take the less money.
Because
you are the most valuable athlete on the planet. On-court money is not where he makes his bones.
Do you think it really matters if the 76ers have to give up Markelle Fultz?
No, it's not. Not just Fultz.
Okay, Fultz and every bench player. If you have Embiid, Simmons, and LeBron,
who's going to trade? You're going to have to trade everything for LeBron.
Okay,
so then it's just going to be fucking LeBron and Dwayne Wade again in Philly.
LeBron, Joel Embiid, and Ben Simmons.
No, then why would he? Then it wouldn't be a trade. He would just walk away and go there,
and it wouldn't be everything.
They would have to give him every single draft pick forever.
Dude,
there's no way that would happen.
When you opt in and demand a sign, when you do a sign and trade, it's going to be already understood that he's getting traded. You know,
I understand that. So he's depleting his future roster. So
the other teams that are trading for him know that they've got leverage when it comes to the trade because they're not going to have to give up everything. You know,
they have to give up a lot because they're going to have a long-term LeBron.
Well, okay, they'll have to give up a first-round pick, their top player, maybe their second-best player.
And another first-round pick? You're talking about the greatest athlete on the planet. That is so much he wants to win.
Here's how it works.
So I'm just saying, just walk, take the $8 million less on the court, make
it's not eight, bank. Dude, it's... It comes out to like $40 million.
Do you know what you can
less?
Make? Tiger Woods didn't have to make his he was well over a billion. He didn't win $1 billion on the goddamn golf course. No. That's not where you make your bones. He's the little every time he tweets something or Instagrams something, that's like a $500,000 venture for somebody's marketing program. Every time you do a Nike commercial, that's $10 million fucking dollar contracts. That's where he's gonna make his money. He makes money by being successful. Getting fucked by Kevin Durant and Curry year in and year out is not going to help your off-court image where your real money is made.
I just happen to think that if it's a sign and trade, that the other team is not going to have to give up as much as you think. Because LeBron can say to the Cavs, look, I'm walking, peace. Or he can say, look, I'm going to opt into this deal, do a friendly trade so you can at least get something.
Yes, that would be nice for Dan.
But Dan Gilbert is a prick, say peace.
And Gilbert's already said we can win without LeBron.
Well, how'd that work out for him? They got the number one pick.
Like three fucking times, if I recall. Kyrie, and then they had the bust, and then they also got Wiggins, who they traded for Kevin Love. So, I mean, they've done this so many times. They'll be fall back to a dumpster fire. But my only point was the only reason, if he does a sign and trade, he's just being selfish and thinking about
it. Is that a shock? LeBron's selfish?
LeBron's selfish.
He's not a selfish man.
He wants to win championships. He doesn't want to just make $35 million on the court. That doesn't make him shit. If that was the case, he would just go to L.A. and be the only one in L.A. Because he wants to win. He may stay there, make them do something with those lower picks and give away Kevin Love. Or he could go to somewhere like Houston or Philly on his own, I guess, accord for less money. But by winning more championships, you are now valued at even more money and making more money off the court.
All I'm saying is I don't think that the team that traded for him, if that happens to occur, would have to give up that much.
Okay, well, I guess
LeBron knows what he's doing. And
he does. That's why he keeps signing one-year deals. I don't think a sign-and-trade is going to be the play. But we'll see.
Probably not. It probably won't be.
Let's wait and see that.
Well, so let me ask you, where do you think he's going to end up?
I think he just ends up in Cleveland and like stall. I think he's in neutral right now, and he doesn't really have an answer or like a viable option.
You really think he goes back to Cleveland after just getting swept at the finals?
I don't know where he's going to go though. So it's like if you don't know where you're going, why are you just going to go in one direction until you figure it out? or do you have a purpose of winning a championship? Then go to Philly. Win a championship for a team that's never won one. That'd be pretty neat.
Sixers have won a championship?
Or haven't won one in, you know.
Yeah, since the 80s.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. I don't even know when.
Quick side note.
Dr. J.
Yeah, yeah, 83. Dr. J.
Is that really last year? Are we sports knowledgeable guys?
Well, actually, the reason I know this was because Jim Gray was the play-by-play announcer for the 76ers that year. He actually has an NBA Sixers NBA championship ring. And I asked him
that's a nice roundabout right
I asked
there.
Him at the box. We asked him at the boxing parade, was that the first parade you ever rode in? He goes, no. I rode in the 76ers championship parade in 1983.
Dude, that is fucking fantastic that you just dropped that right there. And especially because, yeah, exactly. You
and
know,
Dr. J was at, shout out to Dr. J, was at the Boxing Hall of Fame.
See, you need to, like, you were talking, like, all this slow, like, for those people that are 60 years old. You really,
man,
you
could have
just name dropped some of the Greek gods.
Dude, we're talking boxing.
That's true. That's true. But then there's all these other people. Yeah. But okay, so let's go. Speaking of.
But
you were in a parade, so let's talk about another parade.
Oh, yeah.
Ovi has been killing it in the Stanley Cup. I don't know if you've been able to see it, but they raged hard in Vegas after they won. Then they came back. He was drunk as shit, threw a wild pitch.
They were all drunk as shit. I mean,
they're all just, like, killing it. But, yeah, like, but he's, I guess, been sleeping with the cup. He's had it for the first couple days. I don't think a teammate dares ask for it. Like, can I sleep with, like, if Backstrom's like, can I sleep with it tonight? And he's like, get the fuck out of here.
But I heard SVP say last night that, pardon me, if there was a Conn Smythe trophy for celebrating, that Ovechkin would win it hands down.
That's fantastic, and I couldn't agree more. Conn Smythe obviously is the most valuable player for the playoffs, or the Stanley Cup. But I want to reiterate something that we said last week, but you can't hear. We have always been anti-Ovechkin because he's been like
all right. Let's clarify. Yes.
So we've been not pro-Ovechkin because it's been enjoyable to watch him lose. Very Sergio
Garcia. Enjoyable to watch the Capitals lose.
True.
And in turn,
This has been pretty much Ovechkin's battle, losing to
Sid. He's the face of the team.
Man, we couldn't have been more wrong. We should have been watching this guy party years ago. Imagine how much cooler it'd be if Ovi had won Sid the Kid.
He'd probably be closer to retirement because...
That's true. He may have been like hunting as long as he could before.
Well, I mean, just if he were to go at this pace he's going at right now, 3-4 other times.
I think these Ruskies can party, man.
They're hockey players.
Keg stands out of the Stanley Cup. They're doing swimming in the fountains of D.C. I mean, they had their parade today, and he's just dropping F-bomb after F-bomb. For those that don't know, we're recording here on Tuesday, so you saw the parade videos yesterday. Ovechkin killed it. Golden State had their parade today. It's kind of
they had their parade today?
Yeah,
I mean, it's like, third one.
I agree. I think they're out there just having a good time. They closed down traffic. But Ovi's been killing it, and so we want to recant what we
Let me ask you, what do you think went down in Vegas?
I bet you some of, like, so I think they probably had these Russian women's on deck already, but there's no way he didn't go to bed sleep. Like, let's think Ovi first, and then we'll work our way down, like... You got
I really
to
don't know anybody
three
else
chicks
on the team.
A night, and then like if you sleep at all, I mean, I think you can party in Vegas for 2 days before you even realize if the sun's been down or up. I'm surprised they all came out of there and made some flight home to be like recognized in the next location.
God, imagine having to go in front of a camera or do an interview or whatever after partying for 2 days straight.
Man,
I want to go.
Remember when we did a podcast after you came back from Jazz Fest?
Oh, yeah.
It's probably like that.
Yeah. Well, I think I had to skip. I couldn't even do it right when I got back, right? I mean, I think I stuck my head in the sand for about a week.
I mean, I imagine once you kind of get through that celebration phase, and I don't know how long it's going to go. I'm sure there's someone out there that's complaining about it, but I don't give a shit. I want these guys to do whatever they want for as long as they. I want it to be like the summer of Ovechkin, where we just see this guy drunk as fuck walking around with a Stanley Cup all the time. That's what I want.
Yeah. That's no. So
I apologize for cheering against you when I didn't realize this whole time we should have all been cheering. You're like our spirit animal.
I want to congratulate you, Ovechkin, and the Washington Capitals.
Yeah. So I think that talks hockey. We'll talk about that next spring when the playoffs start again. But until then, we're going to put sports hypotheticals. We're going to put sports hypotheticals on hold today. Sorry, I wasn't paying attention. Because we've done it a couple weeks in a row, and we need to talk about something that was cut out of last week's episode. College Damn. World Series, Mississippi State baseball team not only rolled through the Florida State Regional through the loser's bracket, but then we came through there and took 2 of 3 in Nashville from Vandy. Two games. It was the best. You missed it because you were obviously doing boxing stuff.
Yep.
But there was two walk-offs, one for each team. And then on the third game, we went to the 11 innings. The ninth was debaucherous. But we came through victorious. So Kip's headed to fucking Omaha this
week. I was just going to ask you that. Where'd you happen to be going?
I'm getting out of here for Friday. And we play Saturday against Washington.
So how long are you staying for?
Is there TBD? Well, I'll be there till Tuesday.
Now, what happens if they make it to the finals? Are you going back?
I'll probably go back next Friday, but let's not even cross that bridge. I'm just going to go for the first 2 days of how they rotate play. So I'll watch the U.S. Open golf tournament down there with some friends from college, probably at some strip club. Watch the Sunday round with Tiger Woods.
Are there strip clubs in Omaha?
I don't know. They have casinos there. But at the same time, we'll watch some baseball. It's gonna be very exciting. I'll be on the Instagram and the Twitter tweeting, and look for me on the television catching home run balls from the dogs. But at the same time, there was a couple of games that we kind of missed because last week's episode didn't air. Florida last night or tonight or 2 nights ago for those that are listening. Snuck in, I guess, the World Series. Did you see the play where it falls off?
That was literally the only play I saw. I turned on the game. I think maybe what inning did that go down? The 10th?
The 11th.
The 11th. I turned on the game as the 10th was ending. And then I went into the kitchen and started doing something. And I can see the TV from my kitchen. So I happened to lean over the camera and look on the TV, and the ball's in the air, and I see it hit the dude's glove and go over the fence.
I couldn't. And so, it's weird because I feel so excited, and I wrote about this on a blog on the website at hashsports.com. Don't forget to go check us out. But I'm so excited about the dogs, but I feel really bad for this kid. So I don't even want to be shit on them.
Yeah.
I just want to be man, I'm so sorry. It probably sucks having to go be that kid back at school after that, but luckily, I guess it's summer vacation, so people will
I'm sure there's plenty of chicks that still want to fuck them.
Yeah, those cleat chasers, they're nothing to fuck with except fuck them. What's it called? But yeah, so I felt bad for them, but besides that, I guess we'll just kind of debrief everybody next week. I don't want to jinx us. I don't want to say anything. We kind of have been riding an up and down season. Obviously, we all remember my coach was banging.
Who would have thought? Who would have thought?
Thank you.
Who would have thought? I mean, I remember definitely picking on you and having a good time at your expense when your coach got trouble. But I guess y'all should be thanking him.
I don't know if that's the answer, but we did hear players in post-game conferences be like, man, we just got beat the shit out of the first week in the season. We weren't ready to play baseball. And then everything unfolded. Cannizzaro was banging chicks. He got fired. And so Gary took over. So now we don't have a real head coach.
So
we have an interim head coach. And I guess, do we give him the keys to the car at the end of the season?
How old is he?
He's old. He's old. And he was at Kentucky for a while.
And it's not I don't really know much about baseball recruiting. I don't know who recruits. If the coach, does he recruit?
I don't think he recruits well. I think Cannizzaro did, but Cannizzaro couldn't keep his dick in his pants. I don't know if you can necessarily just keep him because his team is playing with raw talent. I don't know if they're winning in spite of, despite the fact that their head coach is Gary Henderson.
Well,
but at the same time, I don't, I mean, if he, what happens if you do really well? What happens if you win a couple of games? Like,
what happens if you win it? If you win it, you can't.
Well, I mean, let's not get ahead of ourselves. Mr. State's never
I would like to remind our listeners that didn't go to an SEC school or, you know,
yeah,
that did.
Bill's got like seven under his belt, so he's allowed to patronize me a little bit.
Mississippi State has, count them, zero national championships in any sport.
Well, let's look at endowments, ever. And if you want to look at enrollments and things of that nature, that's a lot different.
Oh, yeah. You know, all right. I'm just having fun.
That is true. But, yes, so I'm not going to ever say, oh, we're going to get this one. We've come very, very close, and especially in the last couple of years. But, we lost in 2013 the championship game. So I'm not going to say anything about how we'll play this weekend. I wrote a blog at the beginning of the season. I was optimistic. But every other blog I've written about a team, I've just jinxed them. So I didn't say anything about how we'll perform in Omaha, except for everyone's playing hot, and you're playing a hot Washington team.
So I'll just go ahead and refrain from comment at all.
Thank
about
you.
The College World Series.
I would appreciate that. So we won't even have to run over this. I'm not going to rub it in.
Got no picks, got no likes, got no dislikes.
Thank you so much. And we will just migrate into our next segment. Trust me, next week will be plumb full of College World Series because I'll be coming back
from Omaha
with a tan. I'm going to go outfield. You got to think it's going to be Cubs version. I'm taking the vape pen, couple edibles. I'm going to get fucking lit in that outfield. I'm about to show these people in the Midwest who are like just like corn fed.
How many beers are you going to drink?
So used to be, actually, fun fact, shout out to my friends from the Relentless Teeth. They will be here this week, and they said that they've been testing.
Be here or in Omaha?
They'll be in Omaha, too.
Yeah.
Then when everyone's listening, they'll be hearing me in Omaha. What's it called? So a friend of mine had mentioned that they had tested in the past about selling alcohol at these games, and they had done it through like club levels. So now it's officially open to everybody. And they're $6 a beer, according to, I guess, whatever I was told.
So are you like, are you going to go and just have an all-day baseball affair?
Nah. So I'll go.
Because what? Like, it's one ticket gets you in for all day?
No, I think it's game one, game two. So there's two games a day. There's like a 2 o'clock game, and then there's a 7 o'clock game. So they'll clear out the stadium and then bring in new people for the second game. And it's going to be hot as fucking bejesus. It's going to be like 99 degrees in the middle of the day. So luckily we drew a night game. So I'll do that Saturday night. Sunday is the opposite side of the bracket that has the other two SEC teams, Florida and Arkansas, but they're not playing each other. Texas and Texas Tech are over there. Maybe they are playing.
So what is it, just like four states involved in the College World Series?
It's pretty much two conferences and then a couple, you know, West Coasters.
Two Texas teams.
Three SEC, Oregon State from the Pac-12.
God,
Washington from the Pac-12. So the Northwest seems to be pretty stout.
It's always
Oregon
the SEC and the Pac-12 or West. It's always the SEC or Pac-12 or West Coast schools that Southeastern schools, you know, include
it's
Texas.
It's not Northeast, and it's rarely. Yeah. It's just not a northern sport. I mean, Colorado, where we live here and we do this podcast, none of those teams, none of the big schools here actually have a program.
Look, I asked my brother if he goes to CU, my brother Connor, he goes to CU. I asked him if they had a baseball team, and he didn't even know.
They don't have a baseball team, so it's an interesting thing. But at the same time, the kids play high school baseball, and then some of them get recruited. Like that story of the kid that got a letter from a football, a baseball coach in Texas, and the teacher or the coach said, "Sorry, we don't recruit kids from Colorado because all."
He got fired.
Yeah, he got fired. But I mean, again, there's no schools here in Colorado, so everyone's got to outsource their high school talent. But it happens. Whatever. We'll talk about the Dogs next week and how we fared, how we are faring. But let's dive into what will definitely end before this next week's podcast, and that's the U.S. goddamn Open.
Sir.
You know what excites me?
Tiger Woods excites Kip, y'all. Did y'all know that?
They knew it. So when you look at the gambling odds, it doesn't really speak as to how Tiger's playing right now and how it's going to actually go down this weekend. Let's talk a little bit about Shinnecock, and then we're going to talk about the field. We want to give a shout out to our beer, Pacifico, this week has sponsored that belch. Yeah, so Tiger didn't putt well in his last appearance, but he did everything else well. The U.S. Open's got rough thicker than like a 70s bush, so it's going to be like you can lose a ball very quickly. It's going to take these fuckers long as hell to find these balls that go errant because like you have to have volunteers every 15 yards. It's going to be a nightmare in that sense, but I enjoy a U.S. Open that averages, like Graham McDowell said, that he thinks the final number will be higher, a.k.a. worse than 2 under. So,
oh, I mean, I've seen many a U.S. Open where the winner finishes over par.
Yeah, and that's kind of the objective the USGA goes for, but they often go about the route with, like, gimmicks, and they look like kind of like posers, and they've kind of, like, made a goofy golf course sometimes.
Well, yeah, you usually... I don't get to watch like SportsCenter or sports programming as much as I when I was a single man living in a frat house. But, you know, you'd always you come U.S. Open time, you'd hear all the golfers whine that it's unfair, but the U.S. Open courses.
But, I mean, it sometimes it's just a little too gimmicky. It's not that it's unfair because a golf course is a golf course. It's meant to go out there and challenge you. If you mean that you don't need to go errant, then don't hit the ball off the fairway. They give you...
Yeah, take a 3-wood out. Don't use your driver.
At the same time, when you get a par 3 that's 262 yards and you have 3 foot of fucking fescue, I can understand why there's complaints.
Is that really what they're...
I don't know. you just hear Phil was kind of slandering there. Like he was like, I love... number 4 at Shinnecock until the USGA gets a hold of it. And so I was like, I can have that beer. Don't be shy. What's it called? And so we'll see how it goes, but I want to run some numbers by you. I think Tiger is always a fan favorite, so the world always wants to bet him. So
a fan favorite? No way.
So, like, but like gambling-wise, I don't think he is at the level of the guys that he is around. Those folks that are around him are playing a little bit better.
Well, how did he drive last tournament?
Unbelievably well. He shot tee to green. He did great. Everything was great.
Because
shots gained on the green was the worst he's had in his tour history. And that was 2 weeks ago, excuse me.
Because obviously, as you mentioned, the layout of the course, you're going to have to drive pretty good.
Yeah, and it actually gives you fact, like, yeah, maybe, like, are we not, is it not just fandom? Like, can he do it? But the putter was so bad, he missed, like, 8.
I will always believe Tiger can do it. I will always. It's like,
all right, so
going back to
some
boxing references, like when Mike Tyson got after Holyfield, I truly believed he was going to become champion again, and I thought he was going to win every fight. It did, but it just...
Kind of like, wow, I always think Mississippi State has a chance against Alabama in football, and then it just doesn't happen.
And
continue on. What were you saying?
Well, we got to edit that.
All right, so Phil wants to edit out the last 2 minutes. We probably won't do our last 2 seconds. I'm going to ask you some questions about do we think Tiger Woods has the same chance as someone that's near him, and then I want to hear who your favorites are for this weekend's tournament.
Okay.
I'm going to give you the odds. Odds are fun because it makes the juice worth the squeeze for a lot of golfers. Phil Mickelson is plus 2,500. The fun story about Phil is that he is seeking the U.S. Open to have the career.
Yeah, we all know that.
He's not going to get it.
No.
He doesn't just have everything together.
He's going to find that Harry Bush quite a bit.
Yeah, and I don't know if this is a place he can find himself. Like, his wedges he can't be cute out of those that fescue with those wedges. Like, yeah, he's going to make some great shots, a.k.a. mean, like, getting G.I.R. when he shouldn't. But he's not going to be able to get cute where he's, like, spinning it back to 2 feet as often. So I don't see Phil's winning at plus 2,500. I'm going to throw somebody that's in that same realm, and I want to hear what you say. Henrik Stenson, 2,500. Brooks Koepka, 2017 winner, plus 2,000. Tiger Woods, 1,700.
1,700. I don't like any of them.
All right, so you're not going to fade in.
I like Tiger. I mean, I think Tiger's got a chance, but that's just the fan in me. Like, you know that, you know, it took me forever to say Tiger was even back, so.
I know, that is true.
And he's playing great.
It's been an elusive win. Well, let's dive into the favorites.
It'll be scary to see if he actually gets a win. What momentum he can build from that.
Dude, the world will be great. Let's talk winners, and I'll give you the favorites. DJ is plus 750. Rosie is plus 1,000. Rory's 1,200. JT is 1,200. J Day, 1,200. Ricky, 15. Jordan, 15.
Well, I don't think that Dustin will win because he just... It seems... It seems like you never go back-to-back tournament wins, or at least leading up to a major. Like, the warm-up winner, golf tournament winner, does not seem to win the wet next week of a major.
I think the last time I can remember, Phil did it. He won the Scottish and then won the Open. But so give the listeners who your pick of the weekend is, and I'll give them the odds. Who got winning the U.S. Open at Shinnecock?
I hate to piggyback off of our good friend and former co-host Pierce, but
you gonna take JT?
JT is that a new
plus 1200
favorite of mine.
All right, we're gonna put because some money out for Phil here.
He left an awesome tribute video to Uncle Jim at the Boxing Hall of Fame, and it was very nice and very heartfelt. So, Justin Thomas, you're my new favorite.
All right, so Phil's got a favorite on tour this season.
Which actually sucks for you.
Nah, golf works in a different way. And we're not an anti-JT podcast. Remember, like when Pierce, he hit the $10 bet. And at the same time, it's a Ryder Cup season, and he's 1,000% going to be on that team, and he's defending the PGA. So we're going to cheer for him. And then my pick this weekend, I said it on Twitter. I know he just got engaged, so shout out to Ricky. Give me Ricky winning his first major.
Damn, please. That's my second most.
It's so almost like that kid, like you're like, man, you really need to get laid so bad. But this time it's like you really need to just not you just get this notch on your belt and let's get this over with. You know, it's almost like it's just getting too hard to watch. So I'm cheering for Ricky this weekend. That's my guy. Obviously, I'm taking Tiger. But I'm betting with the heart. I'm going to Omaha. I'll watch Sunday's round. But please follow us on the Instagram and the Twitter at LNO Podcast. And then, you know what, Phil, before we close, give me one. What's the funniest part of your weekend? And tell us a little bit of fun stories before we go.
More story time. I got more story time. Sorry. You know, that's a lot to pack into a small episode. I could talk for fucking days about it. But anyway, man, dude, the funniest thing all weekend was after the casting, or like I said, it all kind of gets jumbled together. But Mike Tyson and Jim Gray had a Q&A at the Boxing Hall of Fame. This was pre-induction. And Jim asked them, so 20 years, 20-something years later, you know, I've actually never asked you this. What did the ear taste like? And Mike Tyson goes, it tasted like AF. Jim goes, well, why'd you take a second bite? And he goes, I was hoping it wouldn't taste like AF.
That's fantastic, Phil. And you actually probably shouldn't have led with that. So we hope all of our listeners were able to hear that, because that was actually fantastic. Tyson, I mean, at least he can kind of laugh at yourself. If you can't laugh at yourself, who can you laugh at?
Oh, man, he's got his own podcast, and it's called Bike to Mike. Bite to Mike, I'm sorry. Bite to Mike.
All right, well, so there's the seamless plug to our boy over at Mike Tyson. He'll probably return serve for us. I know he loves us, as well as the other gentlemen that Phil got to party with this weekend. And listeners, we love y'all. Thank y'all for tuning in again to Loud and Obnoxious. Don't forget to subscribe, rate, and review. Phil, tell them one last thing.
Who dat? And congrats, Uncle Jim Gray.
Cheers, boys.